Title of the sermon this morning is, There's Something Worse Than Going to Hell. And we'll be reading from Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse down to the 22nd verse. And also, we'll be going over to the 16th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 19th verse and reading out through the rest of the chapter. ...and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember thou that thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send me to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father, Abraham, but if one went for them from the dead, they will repent. And I want you to listen to this, because it is true to this very day, folks. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses, the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. One has rose from the dead, brothers and sisters, and people still do not believe. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart. I want to thank you again for your mercy, for your love, for your grace that you bestowed upon us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk this morning. And I want to give you praise for your love that you bestowed upon us, Lord. Go with the hearts here this morning, Lord. Open them up, Lord. Open up my words this morning the way that you'd have it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. What is that? Have you ever heard that before? Fire alarm, is it not? That makes a pretty bad sound, doesn't it? You hate hearing that, don't you? I hate hearing that thing, especially. You hate hearing that? I hate hearing that. You know that? You know what that sounds like? You know what my father-in-law used to say? That was supper time to him. Just bear with me. I know it's a bad joke, but please listen. You know, it's a sound, you know, that's very unpleasant, right? It's very unpleasant. It's loud. It's annoying. And you know what? And it would probably rather not hear it. You'd probably not rather not hear me stand up here pushing that button all morning, wouldn't you not? That's just pretty annoying, is it not? Nevertheless, I want you to know that that noise could save your life. If you was in your bed in the middle of the night, and you heard that noise, and you heard it, you know what? That could save your life if you got up out there and you took out. You know, when it comes to this little smoke alarm right here, it gives off an impending sound that there is danger in your house or in that building where you're out. It gives it off, right? It does. It gives off that sound. And you know what? So you and I, when we hear it, we can take action. Am I right? We can get up out of those beds and we can take action. We can go find out what's going on. All right. I'm going to be speaking this morning of an unpleasant thing that I want to talk about this morning. I want you to understand it. It's a disturbing subject. I'm going to be talking about hell, what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I know it's very unpopular amongst churches, and I have preached about it a little bit here before, and you know that. But I want to talk a little bit about this morning. And like the smoke alarm, it may not like hearing what I'm about to say, but I want you to know something, that if you take heed to what I'm going to say here this morning, praise God this morning, God is warning us about hell, and I want to tell you, I believe it this morning with every ounce of my being, with every ounce of my fiber this morning, that just like heaven is real, hell is as real as heaven is real. Amen? It is real. look at the person beside of you, you could touch them and you say, boy, that person's real. I want you to know that's just exactly the way I believe hell is this morning. It is that real. It is that real. I want you to know something. But the teaching of the Bible cannot be ignored, brothers and sisters. It cannot be ignored. You see, if the smoke alarm went off in the middle of the night and you heard it and you just rolled over and went back to sleep, well, what is that? Would you do that? What could happen? Your lives would be in danger. You would do that. You would not do that. You would get up out there and try to get your family and you out of that house if you could do it, right? You would do that. You wouldn't just not pay any attention to it. You just wouldn't roll over and go back to sleep if you heard this in the middle of the night, right? You wouldn't do that. And I'll tell you what, I think that it would take action. You'd take action to save yourself and your family. I know you would. I know you would. Amen. I know you would. But likewise, the Bible tells us, that teaches us on hell and impending dangers and what's going to happen. And you know what? We can take action to save our own eternal lives if we want to. Our eternal souls are at stake. The Bible's teaching us about hell, yet so many of those people that are hearing about hell and what's going to happen if they do not give their lives to Jesus are just gently rolling back over, going to sleep, not paying any attention to what the Bible has to say about hell, thinking that it's some figment of somebody's imagination. I'm going to tell you what, the devil has people fooled so bad into thinking because of the way this world is, the way that the way they portray everything on television now, that it's just okay, you know, we can overcome it, we can defeat it. I want you to know something this morning. If you're bound for a devil's hell this morning and you don't get it right when you go out of this life, there is going to be no defeating it. Amen? You're bound there for eternity. How about the sermon title? There could be nothing worse than going to hell. How about that title? What do you think about that? Do you think that that's possible, that there could be something that is worse than going to hell? You've probably been thinking, preacher, you've lost it, for number one. You probably think that. You know what? Now, before you write me off as a heretic, I want you to give me just your attention for a little bit, and I believe I can explain to you what I'm talking about, and you just might agree with me that there is something worse than going to a devil's hell. And I think you will agree with me. And also, there's something better, listen to this, something better than going to heaven. What do you think about that? Oh, I can see your mind turning right now. I can say, oh, he is an idiot, he's nuts. I want you to know something. Listen to me. The context of the scripture that I read there in Jeremiah is telling us because of God's judgment coming upon the people, on the Jews, listen, that there would be no harvest. Let's go back and read that again. He said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Of course, the context of it, if you take it right there, what's going on, God's judgment has come upon his people, and they have worked all the growing season to try to get a crop up. And they did that, and lo and behold, when it come harvest time, there was nothing there for them to harvest. Not a thing was there for them to harvest. Well, what would happen back in those days if there was nothing them to eat? Of course, there would be starvation. It isn't like us today, where they get food from all over the world. They just had it right in that one little area. And if these crops failed, there was starvation, there was sickness, and there was death that would come. So God's judgment come upon them people. Because why? Because they didn't mind God. They wouldn't listen to what God had to say. God put judgment upon his people. And I'll tell you what, that's what he said. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We are not. There's nothing that can save us. It's too late to go replant. It's too late to go back and try to weed and try to water. It's too late now. The harvest, the growing season's done. And you know what? The crops have failed. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of death and destruction come because of it. That's what God said. You see, here in verse 8:20, whenever they're saying, they went through the whole growing season. The harvest time, the crops did not stand. They could not stand the test of the frost. They could not stand the test of too much rain. And the crops could not stand too much drought. Could not stand the drought. God's judgment had come upon his people and the crops failed. That's all there was to it. His people would pay for their sins. They would pay for their sin. It was too late. I also feel, and I'm going to take these verses, I'm going to take this context the way I also feel. Like we said earlier, the words of Scripture in the Bible can have a twofold meaning. And I want you to know too also, I believe that this represents the cry of the lost from the portals of hell also. I believe that it does. I believe it is saying it. To put it into the concept of this lesson, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. God has been sending people out to preach and to teach His Word and to let people know that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for their soul and for their sins. And you know what? People have been ignoring it. They've been ignoring the Holy Spirit coming into them and convicting them. And one of these days, whenever God takes them out of this life, whether an individual, whenever it's their time to go, or if He sends Christ back to get His church, I want you to know something this morning. It's going to be too late. Listen, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. When you're standing in front of a just God one of these days, and you did not accept His Son as your personal Savior, you will not be able to stand there and say, I want a redo. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And just like with those crops, they could not go back and replant them then. And just like they couldn't go back and water and get another harvest, they couldn't do that. Whenever you do not accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you go out of this life like that, I want you to understand something this morning. That is it. That's it for you. That's it. Don't think there's some religions out there that preach that you can go to purgatory. And then in purgatory, people on earth can pray for your soul. I want you to know that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. My Bible does not say that. The Word of God does not say that. Whenever this is done, it is done, brothers. You're done. Some people's lives are not going to measure up one of these days when Jesus comes back. Because the harvest time for you as an individual, or wherever this rapture comes, that's going to be it. Revelations 14:15 tells us, listen to this. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. I want you to know something, brother and sister. I want you to know this morning. The harvest of this earth is ripe today. This, in the March of 2013, the harvest is ripe. And I want you to know, I don't know, there's not too much more needs to be done. And God's going to tell His only begotten Son, go and get your church. And I want you to know, if you're not ready, oh my, oh my. Undoubtedly, one theme, we're going to be repeated from the portals of hell throughout eternity. And I want you to know this. I believe this. I believe this. I'm saying here's why. Why did we squander our opportunities to be saved? That's going to be screamed from the portals of hell one of these days. I believe it. I believe it to one of these days that those people, that maybe you're sitting here this morning and you do not know Jesus, and maybe you go out of here and you never accept Him as your personal Savior, one of these days you'll be standing in the torments of hell, and I want you to know this scripture, this preaching, and all the preaching you've ever heard down through time is going to come back to your mind, and you're going to say over and over, harvest is past, the summer is ended. And listen, we are not saved. And you are going to be thinking about that through the portals of hell. It's going to come from the portals of hell, folks. I want you to know. And you think for a minute that I'm standing here telling you this with glee in my heart? I am not. I hurt. I hurt when I preach stuff like this. Because I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind, there are people that are going to say that and do that one of these days. They're going to be screaming in hell that way. Why? Why did I not listen? And I cannot preach to you enough why I do it. You know why? Because I don't want to be one of them down there one of these days standing, why did I not preach to you the way that I should have preached to you? Why did I tell you the truth when I had the opportunity to tell you the truth? Get it right with God now. Now let's look at Luke 16. I'm going to go over there and we'll get into this a little bit. And the verse I want to go into here, right here now, is 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I want you to look at that right there just for a second. This is just a little bit of how terrible hell is. This man woke up in the regions of hell. He opens his eyes after he dies and goes out of this life, and he awakes in the regions of hell where the flame does not burn him up. It doesn't burn him up. He's constantly under extreme agony and torment because the flame constantly burns and sears in his skin and his flesh. He has feelings. And he's so thirsty that there's nothing there to take care of his needs. And he's asking, he said, could you not just let Lazarus come and just put a little drop of water on his finger and just put it on my tongue? And you're looking at me this morning and you're saying, preacher, how could there be anything any worse than hell? How could there be? How could there be anything worse than that? And you know what? I can't even go on to describe to you how horrible hell is. I don't have enough time this morning. The darkness that'll be down there that you can't see, but yet the flames burning, but you're in total darkness, grabbing at your skin, the torment of hearing people screaming and you screaming of why did I not accept him when I had the opportunity? And I have the nerve to stand up here and tell you that there's something that's worse than going to hell? Well, I guess I've been keeping you waiting, have I not? You've been sitting back here with bated breath, right? Sitting on the edge of your seat just waiting. I think you probably know what it is. Anybody have a guess what it is? Anybody have a guess what it is worse than going to a devil's hell? It's going to a devil's hell and taking somebody else with you. That's what's worse. Let me tell you a little true story here. A preacher and his friend was a preacher, and his preacher friend moved off. He backslid. He moved to the city, and he backslid, and only was going to church like once or twice a year. And his son, a 15-year-old son, was getting into so much trouble now. He was going out, staying out all night. Preacher couldn't control him. So he was talking to this pastor friend of his and telling him that they're going to have to move out of the city and tried to get him out away from that. And the preacher was on the other end of the phone, the pastor, and he told him just what I told you here this morning. He said, you know what's worse than going to hell? He said, no, what's worse than going to hell? He said, taking somebody with you. He said the man on the other end of that phone started crying because he knew. He knew. You know what? He had turned his back on God. And you know who was suffering for it? Not only was he, his family was suffering for it. His family, his son, they had not gone to church, and his son had been out in the world, and now he's out there, and all this stuff is coming against him. All of it. And you know what? That pastor said the smartest thing he could ever say to him. He said that man started weeping. He told him the truth. He heard the man start crying because he knew. He knew what it had meant. He knew what it meant. It would be bad enough. I want you to listen to me. This would be bad enough for that dad to go to hell. But I want to tell you something. You know something else that's going to be in hell one of these days? If that boy of his went there, that boy's going to be screaming. And that dad's going to know it was that boy. And that boy's going to be saying, Dad, why did you not tell me? Why did you not set a better example, Dad? Why did you not tell me that there was a hell to serve? Why did you not tell me? Now I'm going to ask you this morning. And this is right to your heart and right to your soul. All right? You're here today. You're a mom. You're a dad. You're a friend. You're an uncle. You're a brother. You know what? It's in your hands this morning. Let me ask you this. One of these days, maybe you end up, you don't accept Jesus. Maybe you don't, and you go to hell, but you're down there, and there comes your son. There comes your daughter. There comes a brother or sister down there with you. And you know what? They're screaming in torment. And telling you, why did you not tell me? Why did you not say? And you're listening to this not just for a day, not just for a minute. You're listening to this for eternity. The Bible tells us that. I want you to know, how would you feel? There isn't a one of you in here today, if your kid was screaming in torment, if you had the opportunity to go and take that kid and make it better for them, how many of you in here would do it? Oh, yes, you would. You know you would do it. You know you would do it. I'll tell you what. There are people today. I'm afraid of this. There are people today that are leading their kids down the wrong path. they're leading their families down the wrong path, whether they be mothers or fathers or whoever they may be. They're leading them down the wrong path, and one of these days, if they do not make it right with a true and a living God and His Son Jesus Christ, I want you to know they will be in eternity screaming from the portals of hell, and you will be down there with them, and you're going to be listening to this. And you're thinking, man, that's pretty hard. I'm going to tell you something right now. That isn't even half of what it's going to be like. I can't even describe. You know, you've heard people say they can't describe the glories of heaven. I cannot describe to you the agonies that are going to be in a devil's hell one of these days that was never intended for anybody except the devil and his angels. But since mankind decided to turn their backs on a living God, hell has expanded itself. And it's still expanding to this day. Because so many, the Bible tells me that narrow is a way that leads unto salvation, and broad is a way that leads to destruction. Why? Why is it that way? Because so many are on it. So many want to go down that path. I'm telling you, this is something that come upon my heart, and I said, Lord, I knew, Lord, I said, you give me what needs to be said, and I will say it this morning. I will say it as best as I can. I will try to explain to you the horror. Listen, the warning's out there. This is going off. In a spiritual sense, it's going off, brothers and sisters. And you know what? People are turning their backs on it. They're saying, listen, I don't want nothing to do with it. And going on down the road. And they're going to pay one of these days. They're going to pay one of these days. Amen. Why'd you stop going to church? Why'd you stop taking us there? What? You think that's far-fetched? You think this is so far out of line that I'm telling you? You know, hell will not be a pleasant place. It's not going to be. I've heard people say this. Oh, that's like hell on earth. I want you to know something. They have no idea. They have no idea. Stuff happens down here, and it may go for a little bit, maybe a year or two even, and then it'll dissipate or something will happen. Think about doing that for eternity. Think about living in that way and in that situation for the rest of your spiritual life. Think about it. Then tell me. Full of screams of torment. Many church-going men and women will be down there. Did you catch what I said? There are people that go to church week after week that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I want you to know, you have to be born again. Going to church does not get you into heaven. You have to be born again. There's going to be many preachers. There's going to be many Sunday school teachers. There's going to be many people that sit on church pews that are going to be screaming from the portals of hell one of these days, why did I not listen? Why? And I'll tell you what, I don't have the answer to that. I just tried to preach it. I just try to preach. And that's a sad part about it is many of their family members will also go down that same path because they thought, well, good old Uncle so-and-so was right, and he did this, or my grandpa did this, or my this did this. I want you to know, your salvation is not based on grandpa. Your salvation is not based on your mom and dad. Your salvation is based on your relationship with a true and a living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is what it's based on this morning. That is what it's based on. You know, why did you let this happen? Why? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know something. Let's take a trip into time 1,000 years from now. Just let your mind go with you. You don't know Jesus, and you're dead, and you go out of this life. You've long since passed. You've lifted up your eyes in hell. You've long since gone. You're screaming in agony, and the searing flames are at you, brothers, and you consistently torment. And the words of Jeremiah 8 are ringing in your ears. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I am forever doomed. And that is going to go and ring in your ears forever. Let it be known this morning. It will be doubly maddening to you when you're down there and some of your family's down there with you. It'll be doubly maddening if you do not. Let me beg of you this morning. Let me beg you and ask you and tell you something. And I'm begging you with all I can beg you this morning. If you're here today and you're determined to go down that road, do not take somebody with you. Go it alone. If you have to, make sure your kids are in church. Make sure everybody else is in church. But if you're determined to go down that way, you go. You go. You turn your back on everything Jesus Christ has ever done. You go. But please, please do not take your kids with you. Do not do that. You determined to sound the alarm in their life and say, don't follow my path. Don't do it. You go. Go. Don't drag your kids. Don't drag your wife, your husband, your friends with you. I'm afraid, though. I'm afraid, as I'm saying this, that hell is going to be full of those people like that. It's going to be full. Listen to me. They are going to be full of children cussing their parents. Oh, yes, there's going to be. They're going to be. They're going to be cussing their, they're going to be brothers crying to brothers. They're going to be cousins crying to their cousins. They're going to be classmates yelling to classmates. And you know what? All these examples, we didn't heed the warnings. Listen, I'll tell you what, this is serious stuff to me. I don't think this is fairy tale whatsoever. There's going to be kids down there that are going to be cussing their parents. Why did you do that to me? Why? You knew better. You said that there was no God. You said the church was for the bunch of weaklings. And you said this and you said that. One of these days, there are going to be people down there that are going to be yelling out like that. Let's go back to Luke 16:27-20. You think this is fake right here? Look at Luke 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Do you not think that there are people not in hell right now that wish that they could go back and tell their families and their friends? This is real! It's not a fairy tale! He said, for I have five brothers that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I want you to know something. He knew, he had already woke up in the dens of hell. He knew what it was about. And you know what? Do you think for a moment that they wouldn't go back and tell the people, go back and tell them that they need to get it right? They need to get it right. Hell is still a horrifying, terrible place, and the rich man did not want no one else to experience it. And I want you to know, I'm begging you, if you're determined to go down that road today, do not try to take somebody else with you to experience it with you. Do not do that. Oh, I tell you what, I cannot tell you enough. I cannot beg you enough. That rich man knew. He knew it. He knew enough too. He had enough of his senses about him to know, I've got to get word back. I've got to get word back to him. I've got to get word back. But lo and behold, the harvest has come. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. Why? Let's read a little bit farther. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, if but one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If you do not listen to the wooing of the Holy Spirit while this is in a day of grace right now, while there's preaching to you, while there's teaching to you, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. You're not going to be saved. You're done. You're done. And I don't know how much blunter I could tell you that. I don't know how I could say, take talking to someone with you. If you haven't figured it out already, the one thing better than going to heaven is what? Taking someone with you. If the one thing worse than going to hell is taking somebody with you, yes, amen. Take them all with you. Take your family. Make to talk to them on a daily basis. Let them know. Let them know that you know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to gain. Let them know that Jesus still saves. Let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you believe and that you walk daily serving Him. Let them know. Now let's look at the text in Jeremiah. Listen to what God is saying again back here. So, number one, Let's work while it is still day. Amen. You know, the night's going to come. There's going to come a time, and I believe this, whenever God comes back to take His church out of here and He takes His Spirit out of this world, I want you to know something. You think it's bad on this earth right now? It's going to get a lot worse. I want you to know, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Let's forecast today. Jeremiah 8:22 is God's indictment of the believing church. Let's go back here a minute. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Then why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? You see God's astonishment in that word right there? You see His astonishment? He's looking down on His people and He's saying, is there not a cure? God said, have I not given you the cure? Now answer me this. Answer me this question right here this morning. And you know, if you feel free to answer out if you want to, I don't care. If you or someone you love was really sick, and you called the doctor, and the doctor told you that I have a pill, all you have to do is go pick it up at the pharmacy, and it'll make you 100% well, and you didn't go get it, how stupid would that be? Would that not be dumb? If you had a way to cure you or your family, and you didn't go get that pill and take it and cure it, and that's what God's telling these people right here in this verse. He's saying, listen, He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is I not giving you the way to cure this? Listen to me. Some 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, on this earth. He sent Him down here. He lived here for some 33 years. You know what? They crucified Him, put Him on that cross, and you know what He did? He rose the third day. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father because His blood was shed on that cross one day. I want you to know something. You have hope this morning. You have it. You have hope. All you have to do is accept Him as your personal Savior. And I want you to know He has given you the balm. Amen. It's down there. God's standing up there looking down at us. Go, 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 go. And they're sitting back here. I don't want to do that. I don't do that. I won't do that. And God's offering you the cure for going to hell, and you're not taking it. Now I want you to know something. I'll say it again. That's pretty stupid. And I say it in a good way. I'm saying it in a good way because I know what lies your fate lies ahead if you don't. Amen? Amen. God is astonished. You know what? God knew that prayer was affected and wonder why His people aren't praying. He was looking at, you know what? Prayer is very effective. Why don't we pray then? Because we're too busy. We're too busy. You know what? There's people that are rowing their boats right down the shore towards destruction. They're on the river of destruction. They're rowing them right down through it. And you know what us Christians are doing sometimes? We're sitting over here on the sidelines, having a little picnic lunch, and we're enjoying the sunset. That's what we're doing. And Christians, where's our concern for those who are lost and heading for hell? We should have as much concern for that as we do our own selves. Right? Amen. The Bible tells me, you know what? He said that as far as taking care of our husbands or wives, He said we should love them like we do ourselves, right? And I believe we should love those people that's out there in the world just like we love ourselves also. We should be willing to pray and pray and talk. Fast, if God puts it upon your heart to fast for Him. Oh, I couldn't do that. I'd lose time. I can't not go without eating. Let me tell you something. God puts it upon your heart to do it. You will be blessed immensely. That's all I want to say about that. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, God knows there are people running down the street. You know what? We get up off the banks and stop just looking around and see what kind of a wonderful life we have. And it's time we start praying and trying to get people into church and trying to get them saved. God knows that. And you know something better than going to heaven? That's taking someone with you. It has to amaze God when He sees so much unconcern in His people. It has to amaze Him. It has to amaze Him. I can see Him looking down and saying, well, you got a mother, a brother, a sister is lost. Why aren't you praying for Him more than what you do? He's looking down on us. And it, pray. I'm right here. I'm a prayer answering God. Pray to me. Amen. I tell you what. I think I'm done. I want you to know something this morning. Do you agree with me that there's something worse than going to hell? Do you agree with me? I thought and hoped and prayed you would. I thought and hoped and prayed that you would, because there is. And that's taking somebody with you. They come and get us all.